ओ भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we want to first offer respectful obeisance unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, Srila Prabhupada, translator, commentator, and our dear most spiritual master. Nasta Prayeshwa Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes in Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, everything inauspicious within the heart is almost completely destroyed, and thus loving service unto the transcendent Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Continuing our readings with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Verse Number 26. And these are continuing with the residents of Jambodvip offering prayers. And as we heard yesterday, these are prayers offered by Vaivashvata Manu to Lord Matsya, fish incarnation. Antar Bahis Chakila Loka Palakair Adrishta Rupo Icharasi Uru Svanaha Sa Ishvaras Tvam Ya Idam Vashe Anayan Namna Jata Darumayim Naraha Striyam. Andhar bahis chali Andhar bahis chakila loka palakar Andhar bahis chakila loka palakar Adrista rupo vicharasyuru svanaha Adrista rupo vicharastyuru svana Sa ishvarastvam yaidam vashenayam Sa ishvarastvam yaidam vashenayam Namna jata darumayim narastriyam Namna jata darumayim narastriyam Antar bahis chakila loka palakar Adrista rupo vicharasyuru svana Sa ishvarastvam yaidam vashenayam Namna jata darumayim narastriyam Antar bahis chakila loka palakar adrista rupo vicharasya rusvana sa ishvarastvam yaidam vashenayan namna jata darumayim narastriyam. Antarvahischa kila loka palakaya adristarupa vicharasya rushvana astvam yaidam vashenayam Andarvahischa kila loka palakaya Ishvarastvam yaidam vasenayam namna jata darumayim narastriyam. Antarvahischa kila loka palakaya adrista rupo vicharasya rushvana idam vasenayam namna jata darumayim narastriyam. Marijis, Antarvahischa kila loka palakaya adrista rupo vicharasya rushvana sa ishvarastvam yaidam vasenayam namna jata darumayim narastriyam. Antarvahischa kila loka palakaya adrista rupo vicharasya rushvana ishvarastvam yaidam vasenayam namna jata darumayim narastriyam. Antarvahischa kila loka palakaya adrista rupo vicharasya rushvana ishvarastvam yaidam vasenayam namna jata darumayim narastriyam. Antaha, within. Bahi, without. Cha, also. Akila loka palakai. By the leaders of the different planets, societies, kingdoms, and so on. Adrista rupa, not seen. Vicharasi, you wander. Uru, very great. Svanaha, whose sounds? Vedic mantras. Saha, he. Ishvara, the supreme controller. Tvam, you. Ya, who? Idam, this. Vase, under control. Anayat, has brought. Namna, by different names, like Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Jata, exactly like. Darumayim, made of wood. Naraha, a man. Sthriyam, a doll. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivananda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as a supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Antarbahi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize His presence both externally and internally. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Verse 19, Srimati Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world, nato natyadharod yata, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. In Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher junatishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, He is the Super Soul, the incarnation who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet although God is residing within their hearts, foolish people say, I cannot see God. Please show Him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer, or a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, Darumai, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women wants to remain independent. What to speak of women? All living entities are prakriti, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord. As Krishna Himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, Apariyamitasthanyam prakritim vinimeparam. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social divisions of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly does not deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under control. The Supreme Lord Narayana, who is beyond this material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Ekoha vai Narayana asit. Foolish persons think Narayana to be on the platform of ordinary material existence. Because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity, they concoct names like Daridra Narayana, Swami Narayana, or Mithya Narayana. However, Narayana is actually the supreme controller of everyone. This understanding is self-realization. Antarbahischa kilaloka palakaya adristarupo vicharasyurushvana saishvarastvam yaidambasenayan namna jatadarumayim narastriyam. Translation, everyone can repeat, please. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls, and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart, as a supreme witness and commander, and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Om Agyanatmanandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest, deepest depths of ignorance. My eternal spiritual master is Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajikacharya Ashtatara Sadashi Shimad Shilesi Bhaktivananda Swami Srila Prabhupada has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most respectful obeisance unto his lotus feet. How could I ever forget his mercy upon me? This is a really wonderful section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Since a spirit is not constricted to time, place, or circumstance, and is completely transcendental, therefore, as we know, as we have heard, Krishna is completely present in his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And depending on our pure desire to have him, when we chant Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, with all his unlimited opulences, is immediately there to bestow any benediction upon us that we may desire. So all these wonderful devotees who are living in Jamadvip, different areas of Jamadvip, they have developed certain relationship with the Lord in a particular incarnation, and in glorifying the Lord with these select prayers, they are able to enter into wonderful transcendental relationship with the Lord, who is not impersonal, who is very much interested and excited when the devotees are chanting his name, because Krishna is a person. Just like we're people, we're persons. So if someone starts calling your name very sweetly and says, "Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu, so nice to see you, so nice to have your association, you know, you're such a wonderful devotee," like that, then we become so, our heart starts melting, and we become so favorably disposed towards that person. So God, although He's the Supreme Person, He's still a person, and He has very intimate relationships with His devotees, to the point where it's so pleasurable to the Lord that He agrees to become controlled by His pure devotees. So this is really amazing for us, that although we have no qualification, none of us have come into this particular birth we've had in whatever particular land and particular parents in Kali Yuga. We've come from such an unfortunate background, but yet by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the entire disciplic succession and the saints and sages for all time, and specifically, of course, Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit, we're able to get this glimpse into the spiritual world. We're able to get this glimpse into areas that would be are impossible for us to enter by any material contrivance. And yet, we're able to sit on the edge of these varshas, and to be able to witness and take part in these amazing prayers offered by the residents of Jambudvip. And to the extent that we're spiritually enlivened by it, to that extent, we're actually present there and can get the full benefit from this transcendental sound vibration. There's a number of important points that are brought up in this verse. I think what we'll do now is actually go to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, first of all, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada states, the first sentence, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is antar bahihi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize His presence both externally and internally. So Prabhupada says one must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 27, the Lord states our position in this world. Icha dvesha smutena dvandva mohina bharata sarva bhutani samoham sargayanti parantapa. O sky of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the personality of Godhead. So The essence of that delusion is that we're separated from Krishna. This is a delusion. We're actually never separated from Krishna, even within the material world. As stated here in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Supreme Lord is within, the Supreme Lord is without. So how we can become separated from Krishna? We're separated from Krishna by our false ego, which convinces us that we are a product of the material energy. But, as Srila Prabhupada also brings out in the purport, it's also mentioned in 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that Bhumirapanalova yu kamano buddhirevicha ankaraitiyame vina prakritirashtada apariyamitastam yam prakritim vidime param jivabhutam ahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. That we are not this earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, or false ego. We are a separate identity. We are spiritual beings. And we are keeping this whole material world going. Actually, Krishna's keeping it going, in essence. But he doesn't have anything to do with this world. This world, the whole creation of the material world, is not the fault of the Supreme Lord. It's actually our fault. So we can say, actually, we're the cause of this material world because of our desire to try to become separate enjoyers, separate controllers from Krishna. So we'll continue reading in this verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're completely deluded by this material energy. And this delusion is so deep and so complete that when the concept of God comes up, we come to the conclusion that God must be impersonal. And we come to this conclusion because we're so deluded by false ego and so puffed up that we think that if God would be a person, it's impossible. Because if God were to be a person, then he'd have to be a person like me. And I'm limited in so many different ways. Therefore, if God is a person, he must be limited, just like me. So in this way, we project our own misconceptions onto God. And it's just by the mercy of the spiritual master who is able to come and by his causeless mercy release us from this deep duality, duality of this delusion of separation that we all experience. It's mentioned in the verse also, I think it's significant that when it talks about how Krishna controls all the living entities in the universe, it mentions specifically the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. We understand from Srila Prabhupada, through Shastra, through Bhagavad Gita, that these divisions of society are created by Krishna. And they're created to help us to understand how we are controlled by Krishna. Everyone is under the particular mode of nature that we're born into. And we cannot artificially transcend those modes of nature. From those modes of nature are coming certain proclivities, certain desires, and certain tendencies. And it's literally impossible materially for us to transcend those. In the process of pure devotional service, we are given the opportunity to transcend those modes. But in the beginning stages, we're still very much attached to the modes of material nature that confine our consciousness in so many ways. Therefore, it's recommended that unless one is situated on the transcendental platform, that one should act within the modes of material nature. Therefore, the most important thing in our prosecution of devotional service is to be able to analyze and understand where we are at in our progressive gradual realization of Krishna consciousness. And with the advice of our spiritual master and senior devotees, we can understand what our position is and get clues and insights as to how we can progressively advance and develop our Krishna consciousness. Generally, the process of self-realization, as we understand, is a many lifetime process. Manushanam sastreshu kaschid yatati sire yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam viditatvadaha. Krishna says that of many thousands among men, one may be even have an interest in self-realization. And of many thousands of persons who become self-realized, Krishna says, hardly one knows me in truth. So it's not an easy thing to become self-realized. In previous ages, the process took many thousands of years to perfect. But we are so unfortunate in Kali Yuga, being an ocean of so many qualities. Payinava paisha shabya kalivashmin yuge jana manda sumandamatayo manda bhagya vipadurta. People in this age are so unfortunate. We have so many bad qualities. And yet we've been given so mercifully a process that is so incredibly powerful that within this one short lifetime, we can actually, if we apply ourselves completely and properly, we can actually become completely self-realized and go back home, back to life, back to Godhead within this one short lifetime. Therefore, and this of course is only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's taken the most intimate understanding and relationship of the living being with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is given that most confidential mellow of conjugal love and given it to persons like us who are so unfortunate. So this process of offering one's service to the Lord through the particular varna and ashram that one is situated, this is very, very helpful and very important in human society, because by this process, all the different orders of life can become actually controlled by the Lord, just like it's said that the sannyasi is the spiritual master of all the different statuses of life. And the brahmana is all, as the in charge of all the different varnas. And by the instructions of the brahmanas, by the instructions of the sannyasi, all the other statuses of life are able to work smoothly and to execute their duties under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted Varnashram to be instituted. There's a time when Srila Prabhupada had some conversations with devotees in 1976 in Mayapur, and they were talking about Varnashram. Prabhupada was talking about how important it is. Prabhupada said that, first of all, he asked the devotees, he said, how many devotees are in the temples around the world right now? Prabhupada said something like, how many devotees are being controlled in the temples? And the devotees looked to Prabhupada and said, huh? Like, what do you mean? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are in the temples? And they thought, Prabhupada said, how many devotees are in the temples around the world? And they thought, well, I don't know, Prabhupada, you know, there's maybe, you know, 80-100 temples, there's maybe on average anywhere between 10, 30, 40, 50 devotees in the temples. And then Prabhupada said that if we want to simply go on in this way, creating a society of a few brahmanas in the temples, he said, then that's fine. Then we can just live like that with a few temples around the world and, you know, prosecute our process of devotional service within the temples. He said, but devotee, a real devotee is not like that. The devotee is paradukaduki. He said he's merciful to everyone. He said if we want to spread the movement on a mass scale, he said then we have to institute this vanashram dharma. And of course, vanashram dharma means it begins in a rural setting, dependence on Krishna, as it's naturally is dependent, not on these artificial machines and artificial economy that's based so much of it simply on cheating, but is based on anad bhavanti bhutani, on rural living, on growing our own food, living in a communal setting in that environment where the process of worshiping Krishna becomes very, very natural. It's in a natural setting. The process of Krishna consciousness is very, in that atmosphere, it becomes very easy to remember Krishna. As a farmer is watching his crops grow, he understands how dependent he is on Krishna for the rain. He understands that the process of growing, of learning is a gradual process. A seed is sown in the ground, and gradually over time, that seed is sown into a plant, and at the proper time, it's harvest. Nowadays, the mentality that ensues from this process of immediate gratification, which there is in cities all over the world, and even in India now, is such so contaminated that people actually think, young people start thinking that actually food is just coming from the supermarket. They may understand, you know, by reading and by hearing that actually it's grown in the fields. Once in a while they may travel out and see some things growing in a field. But practically speaking, everything they're getting from some supermarket. And they're getting things shipped in from all over the world. This produces a very unnatural situation. And even as devotees, I've observed that, myself included, we become habituated and practically addicted to this materialistic concept of immediate gratification. And sometimes we even tend to pull that into our process of devotional service, which is takes a long time for us to become free from the particular modes of nature that we've acquired. We are known as Nityabada, eternally conditioned souls. That means no one can trace out when we began this process of material transmigration through millions and millions of species of life. Even in this human form of life, we may have had thousands, if not millions, of births in all kind of different lower statuses of life before somehow or other we performed some kind of pious activity. We were able to take birth in a particular family, and somehow or other, by the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, come in contact with the devotees. So we've come to this process through a very arduous process that for the most part we can't recall. But it's important that we do recall how we got here. Just like in the Ishyas Upanishad, it said that one should prosecute the process of transcendental realization side by side with the process of nescience, so that we understand not only how Krishna is engaging in transcendental pastimes with his intimate devotees, but how Krishna is creating, maintaining, and annihilating the material world, because we've been so much part of this material world for so long. And as we do this, the qualities that ensue from this, humility, patience, tolerance, enable us as we become more and more situated and start realizing our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. At the same time, our appreciation increases to such an extent that our spontaneous love for Krishna first manifests in the desire to give this incredibly valuable and precious process to others who are less fortunate. The mercy and the extent of compassion of someone like Prabhupada is pretty inconceivable to those of us, like myself, are just so still overcome by modes of passion and ignorance. Prabhupada, at such an advanced age, was living in Vrindavan and had no need to travel outside of India. Took so much risk to come to the West and to give us this such an incredibly wonderful and powerful process of Krishna consciousness. So we owe so much to this process. We owe so much to Srila Prabhupada. And we are all so fortunate to be here together practicing in Vrindavan. So let's make the best use of what we've been given and take full advantage of our incredible good fortune to be here in Vrindavan and not waste a moment in wasting such a valuable opportunity that we've been given. It's 8:57. I think at this point we'll open the floor to questions and comments. Why don't you go to Prabhu, and then I believe your name is Gaura. Thanks. Is there, Mike? Let's see if this works.
So the puppet is dependent, and it says that the husband is controlling the wife dependent. What kind of independence is there? Is there any independence while being dependent?
That's an excellent question. Of course, we know that we all have false ego. We all have minute independence. So we do have the independence to desire. And so being completely dependent on Krishna, we do have some degree of independence. In Krishna consciousness, we are taught to take that, whatever independence we have, and place it at the lotus feet of our spiritual master and ask him, how would you like for me to use my independence? How shall I use my minute independence in your service? And then by the instruction of the spiritual master and our senior god brothers and senior devotees, we do our best to engage in Krishna's service. And by this surrender and this, you know, showing Krishna, we're willing to give up even our minute independence to sacrifice everything to be completely dependent on Krishna. Then very quickly Krishna can act within us, and the first thing that happens, one of the first things, is we start experiencing happiness on such a high level. We realize how much Krishna loves us. So by nature, it's explained, Prabhupada says, what to speak of women? We are all women. In essence, we are all Prakriti. We're not Purusha. This identification of ourselves as anything but Prakriti, being enjoyed by Krishna, is illusory. Therefore, if we think we're, as we read, if we think we're a man, if we think we're a husband, if we think we're, anything but an eternal servant of Krishna, we're in delusion. Of course, now we have to act within this material world. We have to act with this material body. But we have to act with this spiritual understanding. And to the extent that we're willing to surrender, to the extent that we're willing to act, even though we may have limited realization, but we're willing to act in terms of our constitutional position, to that extent we'll realize our partial independence. So our partial Independence is there, but we have to understand things according to Shastra. We have to understand things according to the realization of those superior to us. What is our realization anyway? You know, what can we actually understand? How much are we actually controlled? How much is our own understanding controlled and given to us by the lower modes of material nature? And if we're very stubborn and not willing to act upon the higher realizations of others, then we'll be stuck in our position. But according to Prabhupada here, you know, we can argue so much about this. Prabhupada says a woman is compared to a doll because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women wants to remain independent. And then in the next sentence, he gives the real Shastric understanding of the essence of this whole issue. He says, what to speak of women, all living entities are prakriti and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord, as Krishna explains himself in Bhagavad Gita. So did that help answer your question at all? Thank you. Cleared it right up. Yes, Gaurav Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Krishna, thank you for Srila Prabhupada stated that he wanted disciples who were independently thought of men and not just blind followers. Yet we see even when they achieve the exalted status of sannyas and decide to break off and start our own movement. So I'm trying to get a little more insight. This tenet of exercising our independence, it's related also to Panchabodha Prabhu's question. How to guard against that? It seems like it's a kind of a weed. Lots of aging.
Yeah. You know, there's so many incredible benefits we get out of the association of devotees. And I mean, it's who can calculate how much benefit we get from waking up early in the morning, going to Mangal Artik, and, you know, chanting japa with the devotees, worshipping Tulsi, attending Srimad Bhagavatam class, and, you know, how much benefit is incalculable that we're getting from that. At the same time, we're not robots, and there is a certain kind of, maybe you can say, institutionalized mentality, if we can call it that, that we have to kind of guard ourselves against, that we don't want to just... it says that one should not live his life vicariously through others. So, you know, we want to develop... Ultimately, we're performing this practice of bhakti yoga to develop our own eternal relationship with Krishna, not anyone else's, but our own individual, independent relationship with Krishna. Therefore, you know, we have to become independently thoughtful to a certain extent. We have to apply our higher intelligence in the service of Krishna. And it's sometimes, even though we get so much benefit from living in the association of the devotees, it's really, really difficult for our false ego to take living intimately with devotees, because, you know, the most subtle element is false ego. And we're still, you know, so much conducted by the lower modes of material nature. So it's a day-to-day process. You know, ask ourselves, are we going to become victim of these modes and lash out at a devotee who tries to give us some instruction and gives us the opportunity to bite the bullet and to become a little more humble and a little more tolerant? And, you know, Prabhupada said that, you know, one of the most significant things he said after he apparently left, was that your love for me will be tested by how you cooperate. Your love for me will be tested by how you cooperate. And so the higher principle is actually staying within the association of devotees. And whatever difficulties we have, working them out within the association of devotees. And we see even Mahabhagavats within our society, such as Gaura Govinda Maharaj, who was at the time practically imperceptible to, I would say, a large percentage, probably most of the devotees who were here, including myself, who didn't understand his level of, you know, where he was actually at spiritually, and so, you know, kind of, you know, offended him in so many ways, and he found so much difficulty in some ways working within ISKCON. But he always told his disciples, whatever happens, you have to work within ISKCON. Srup Damodar Maharaj also told his disciples, you know, work within ISKCON. And these are, you know, very advanced devotees. Indra Prabhu also, who, regardless of, you know, whatever anyone may say about him in terms of his, you know, certain eccentricities, and we all know his, you know, dedication and his depth of devotion in terms of chanting, whatever anyone else may say about certain things he said or you know, about his writings. He was a really, really advanced devotee. And, you know, it would have been very easy for him to go out and move to Radhakund. And, you know, I believe he was on the level of realizing very, very high, you know, some level of his relationship with Krishna. And he was always preaching to the other devotees and his followers, stay within ISKCON, work within ISKCON. So this is really, you know, an important issue, an important way, I think, for us to express our gratitude and you know, what we owe Srila Prabhupada for, you know, starting this great movement, is to stay within the auspices of the Hare Krishna movement, no matter how difficult the situation may be. Is that all right? Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the question. I have a question which is slightly connected to the previous question. That we understand that the whole idea is to spread the Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world. So if this might sound controversial, but if someone decides to leave ISKCON in order to operate more freely and in order to propagate Krishna consciousness, is that such a big problem?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's kind of the other side of the other question. And, you know, I would have to say, I mean, Prabhupada said different things on different occasions. And of course, it's very easy to take something Prabhupada says in one context and use it to support one's own view. And I know for a fact that there was one particular devotee who told Prabhupada that you know, he couldn't stay within ISKCON, and it was too difficult to work with his god brothers. And Prabhupada said, look at me, I couldn't work with my god brothers, so I started my own movement. You know, so there's that also. But we have to all understand all these things in the context of who we are and where we're at in our spiritual development. And my own personal realization is that I'm really confused a lot of the time, and I'm really, really tiny. And what I think, actually, what I think about myself, what I think is really in terms of eternal time and in terms of like who I am in comparison to like other devotees, and especially, you know, like Srila Prabhupada, is so insignificant that what I decide to do in my tiny little pea brain is really not all that important or absolute. I mean, important in the sense that, you know, I have to give some importance to it because it's, you know, I have these desires and things and they're influencing, you know, my process of thought. But we have to be very careful in terms of doing something that may help our progressive process of Krishna consciousness. And we may do something that at the time seems good. Just like, I'll give you personal example, that in the early days, I joined a temple in San Francisco. So I was, you know, duty-bound to stay in San Francisco. And, you know, and so I was very faithful. And, you know, I think I performed all my, you know, I tried to be a real sincere, you know, devotee doing any service that I was asked. But I developed a really strong desire to go with a particular sannyasi who was going to Japan to preach. And I was very inspired by his kirtan and by the way he was preaching. And I really, really wanted to go with him. And so I went to my temple president and he said, absolutely not. You're a San Francisco devotee. You have to stay in this temple, do service. Don't even think that you know, can whimsically decide and go somewhere else. And so I surrendered. And so for the next year, I stayed in the temple. I went out on, you know, on Harinam and went out on traveling Sangatan. And I, you know, at the same time, I still had this really strong desire. So I consulted with senior godbrothers, one of them, Jayananda, who would take us out on Harinam every day in San Francisco's. And the conclusion I got from these different devotees was that, you know, I think you should do it. I think you're doing it to increase your service. And so I felt like that. But at the end of 1 year, I wanted so bad to go. And I went to my temple president and I told him, he said, you can't go. He said, don't ask me again. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that you know, why don't you just stay and become temple president and then I'll go, like that. And I said, you know, I've made up my mind. I really want to go. And so he got really angry. And it was Rath Yatra Day. And I was, Prabhupada was in San Francisco. He was staying at Jayananda's house, which is a couple blocks away from the temple. Temple in San Francisco at this time was in the Bowery. We had this big, heavy door that would lock when you close it. Outside, it was like drunks on the doorstep, people shooting up heroin down the street. It was a really bad area. So it was after an incredibly ecstatic Rath Yatra day, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. Prabhupada was staying over at Jayananda's house, along with this sannyasi. I was Guru Kripa Maharaj at the time, who I wanted to go with. And so I was cleaning the temple at this time. All the devotees had just taken rest. I had a really small little gumshoe on. Like, it was kind of like a half gumshoe, no shirt. I was just finished cleaning the lobby. And so the temple president at that time got really angry with me. He grabbed me by the arm when I told him, you know, I was determined to go. He said, so get out. I said, what do you mean? He said, get out. He opened the door. He pushed me outside. It was raining outside. And I...